ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Second Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking at kingdom covenant lifestyle today. We've looked at a series of teachings that we're still on the kingdom word. We've looked at what it is and what it is not. We've looked at the mind of God concerning this topic, and we are still going on it. Well, let's just look at the covenant lifestyle today. I'm trusting that we'll be able to do a little bit of revelation around this so that we can put this subject in proper perspective. Second Corinthians chapter 9, I read from verse 6. It said, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saint, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts." May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word in our midst this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Midas touch is an expression used to describe a king whose name is called Midas, who lived in the 8th century BC. This king was a very wealthy king. He was very wealthy to the point that he built vaults in his palace where he stores bars of gold. He likes whatever he has. It was at the rating at that time. It's one of the Greek mythology that the story is. At that time, every opportunity that he has, he stores his own wealth in gold. And the story was told that one night he was sleeping and he dreamt that a being came into his room and asked him to make a wish. And the wish that he made was that everything he touches must turn into gold. And the being told him, you have it. To his amazement, when he woke up in the morning, the sheets, the covers, had turned into gold. And he was so excited. This is what I have dreamt for all my life. And so as he stood up to touch his bedpost, turned into gold. He was so excited. So he called in the servants to start, you know, cut them and all that. So he went and sat for his breakfast. As he was being served the breakfast, he was served a cup of coffee. So as he wanted to leave the cup of coffee, he turned into a goat. So they brought him water. As he was about to drink the water, everything he touches. So he was a bit apprehensive at that point. But that was not the end. So he was saying to himself, so he wouldn't eat. This king had only one daughter. So simultaneously, the daughter rushed into the dining room and hugged him to say, good morning, dad. And the daughter, the only daughter that he had, turned into a god. He touched one of his servants. Of course, you know the story. So, he couldn't eat. He couldn't go anywhere. But he had bars of gold stored up. So, he was in that frustration, he dozed up. So, the being came back to his room and said, I hope you are happy now and fulfilled. He said, no. That he has only one wish. He said, take all the gold back. Let my daughter just come back alive. Then the being told the king, you have your wish. He said, but this is the way it's going to work. Go to a certain river and wash off the gold torch. And then take some of the water, come back, pour it upon the statue, because the daughter has turned into a statue of gold, and you will have her restored back to life. So the king did exactly what he was told to do, and the daughter was restored back to him. The question with that story, because Midas touch is still something that a lot of people we identify with, is an expression people use in describing anyone who is ambitious and who has a very strong drive for success. Like everything this person touches will turn into gold. The question as I begin to preach this morning is that if you get all that you want today, will you like what you will get? There are simple things of life. Because that's Midas thing. You will understand that in the midst of his getting, family became a priority for him. All he wanted in the midst of everything that he got was family. The second priority was health. The third priority at that point was joy. Another priority was peace. And the last one was contentment. You know, we have established through this series, Wednesday, Sunday, through our guest ministers, important truths from the Bible. And our test this morning, there are seven important kingdom truths that I want us to glean from. Number one, the key to kingdom wealth is by the grace of God. That's number one kingdom key. Where we read this morning, he said, God is able to make all grace. So for us to operate in the kingdom wealth, the grace of God must be activated in your life such that joy, peace, contentment can become your lifestyle. before the inflow of some every other thing in your life. That's what the Bible reiterated in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things must be added. The way this grace works, I know it has worked for us for salvation, but the way it works in terms of kingdom wealth, the attitude of your heart must change. You must be dead to self. There should be a balance when it comes to gathering stuffs. Secondly, the renewal of your mind is also essential. The renewal of your mind. I don't believe anyone will pray for something that will take us out of the purposes of God for our lives. So the renewal of your mind is also very important. Thirdly, the discipline of the flesh. There is a monster in every one of us, which if we don't take it out, we can amplify it by distraction of greed and covetousness. And we know how grace comes. It comes through the cross of Jesus and is received by faith. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, said, and the word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, his riches, his wealth, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Second kingdom truth from our test this morning is that we must give ourselves first to the Lord before any gift to him. First to the Lord. That's what he says. We must give ourselves. I mean, through the teaching, various teaching, we have emphasized that. God desire your heart first before your gift. We can't acquire things by ungodly means and bribe God. No, we cannot buy God's favor. I know people do that. They sow seed. No, you can't do that. The kingdom wealth is received on the platform of grace. Thirdly, giving completes and establishes our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we read, verse 15, he said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Righteousness means standing with God. So when you and I give, or we acquire, or God helps us to acquire wealth, it is in response. It can't be compared to the gift, the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus. Fourthly, wealth and giving is a proof of the sincerity of our love for God, our brethren, and the kingdom cause. Wealth is a proof, or giving is a proof of our sincerity, the sincerity of our love. For God so loved the world that he gave. So in response to that, God also plant us. He gives us skill, talent, opportunity, and then we maximize it. So when we have opportunity to gather or opportunity to give, it is a proof of the sincerity of our love. Five, God's kind of wealth validates his favor over our lives. God's kind of wealth validates his favor over our lives. There is a spirit, it's not money. Mammon is not money, but a spirit that walks through the medium of money. And the mission of that spirit, like what he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, is to ensnare men and women within that grip. Mammon operates through money because that's a strong medium of exchange. So, but what God has done is also to validate. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it more in abundance. Amplified says, to the point where it overflows to other people. 6. Wealth and giving is sowing in God's harvest field, validating our partnership as fellow workers in God's kingdom. Wealth, when I mean wealth, I mean the acquisition of it, and then giving, that generous spirit, is sowing in God's harvest. Harvest field, which validates our partnership as fellow workers in God's kingdom. If you give into a television ministry, you may not be there. But if that television program goes on in Ivory Coast and lives are saved, if you give into a cause of the widow, if you give into a cause of the people in prison, if you give into a cause of the less privileged in our society, whenever that generosity is administered, it is validating your partnership as fellow workers in God's kingdom. The seventh principle we have gleaned so far, or kingdom truth, is that we can never outgive God. We can never. The greatest gift of all is summarized in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. So, if you have opportunity to give, it is a privilege. If God blesses the work of your hand and you have opportunity to acquire, it is a privilege. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read two scriptures to us to explain this lifestyle today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Or rather, verse 8. Let's read from verse 8. If you have a Bible like mine, it said, Christ is our model, is our pattern. He said, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. He says, verse 9 says, for you know. So we have to understand the grace, this grace that we are talking about, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice, which is to your advantage, not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, as there was a readiness to desire it, so that there may be a completion out of what you have. In other words, giving is a privilege. Giving validates the sincerity of our love. But there's something in the midst of it. There is the grace of God that is bestowed on anyone who chooses that lifestyle. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, where we read earlier on, when we give, something happened. It said, God is able. Is able. God has the ability. He's able. He blesses you with favor. He blesses you with good health. That's what is emphasized in Deuteronomy 8:18. He gives you strength to make a living. He gives you sound mind. Ideas flow through your mind. And so when you activate that grace, God is committed to make all grace abound towards you more. And we will come to the practice. You see, when you do it, everything is by on the platform of faith. And when you do it, His grace is multiplied over your life. His favor is multiplied over your life. The quality of ideas that flows through your mind is different. And then even in navigating through project and all that, that grace is found expression in your life. Joseph, I don't know if you have read the story of Joseph closely. Joseph was sold as a slave. So Joseph, this is the way they sold slaves those days. They stripped them naked. So at the point that he was being sold, there was nothing to him. Even his coat of many colors had been taken away. And Joseph, the description that they gave Joseph, he was disadvantaged. So Potiphar just bought him out of pity. And you know, that's the way sometimes you just look at some people and say, hey, I know I did shame you. I just have pity. Let this child be taken out of street. That was the thing. But the Bible recorded that even in that state, Genesis 39, 2, the Lord was with Joseph. He was bought under price. He was underpriced. There was an amount they bought by slave. The Lord was with Joseph. That same grace that was upon him was what took him to Potiphar's house to the point that he became more useful to Potiphar, that Potiphar had to commit. That grace, that anointing, that elixir upon his life motivated Potiphar's wife to want to desire him. That grace took him to the prison. That grace was with him in the prison to the point that they committed everything into his hand. That grace helped him to interpret dreams in local level, local palace. That grace was further matured in his life that he was forgotten for 2 years. But hey, from the prison to the palace, that grace flow, I mean, it must have been practicing, operating in it. So the Bible says here, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And so the grace wasn't in vain. What will that grace do? Can you please help me project that again? Or maybe I should read from my Bible. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for what? You know, that word, every, is a Greek word, which literally means all. So 2 Corinthians 8:9 talks about the substitutional grace. He said, you should know that grace. Jesus made it available to us. So kingdom wealth is number one on that platform. It is not by power, it is not by mind, but by His Spirit. So it's a substitutional grace. But the other grace, which is what we just read in 2 Corinthians 9:8, is the grace for giving. It's also bestowed upon us. It was bestowed upon the Macedonian believers, such that even in their poverty, that grace was working. They had a spirit of generosity. They had a spirit of liberality that was so pronounced that we are still reading about it today. So if you look at 2 Corinthians 9:8, abound, the word abound, occurred twice. But the word all occurred five times. Five times, including the word every. He said, God is able to make all. That word all is five times. So that word all speaks of God's abundance level of provision if you and I respond to Him. So we started last week by saying it's a covenant. Each one of us must come to that level where our personal relationship with God will inform our attitude towards Him. I'm not here this morning. I'm living by that instruction when we started this series. I'm not going to talk about all that is going on the social media. That's not my business. I'm talking to believers, the people who have chosen this word to guide their lives. Psalm 90, where is it? It's in the Old Testament. Psalm 35 or 37 is in the Old Testament. With long life, will He satisfy you? Is in the Old Testament. He will show you His salvation? Is in the Old Testament. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life? Is in the Old Testament. The Lord will bless the work of your hands. Whatsoever you lay upon it, it shall prosper. Is in the Old Testament. So I'm not here to contest whether something is Old Testament or something is silent here or something is the New Testament. Grace for giving is bestowed by God. And if you're a believer in Christ and you want to operate on the platform of the covenant, you must understand that. It's substitutionary, but it's also bestowed. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. The word abundance speaks of a wave that overflows. When we say something is in abundance, it means it's overflowing. And the purpose, we've established this over this week, the purpose of abundance is that we may abound unto every good work. Our father, Abraham, he said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. In you, all the nations of the heart will be blessed. I will bless you so that you can become a blessing. Let's do a quick explanation. And I believe you will get this. If I have 50 naira and I need to shop, and on my list, it is 70 naira. It simply means I am living in what? Insufficiency. I have 50 naira. My grocery list is 70 naira. It's insufficiency. But if I have 70 naira, and my grocery list is 70 naira, it simply means I am in sufficiency. But if I have 100 naira and my grocery list is 70 naira, it means I am living in what? Overflow. Did we get it? Did we get it, sirs and ma'ams? That's the way it is. God lives in overflows. The Bible says that is the owner of cattle upon a thousand he. So you ask yourself, how much cattle is on each hill? And he said the same God is saying to us that when we respond to his own kind of overflow, is able to make all grace. So in other words, everything that you need is able to make it available to you. You need wisdom. You need management ability. You need prudence. You need how to be generous. You need how to walk in power. Power to make things happen is able to make all grace abounds towards you. The purpose of abundance is for every good work. Please, if we will understand kingdom word, it is not for self-indulgence. God will meet your need, but hey, let it not be that every time a cover comes into your hand is how to spend that you think of. Even for those of us who save, it is seed that you may, I mean, the Bible's prescription is that you may have something to give to those who don't have. Receiving has a blessing. Everybody wants to receive. But the truth is that giving has a greater blessing. Luke 6:38, he said, give and it shall be given. When we talk about giving, people are upset, but that's the key to life. Give and it shall be given. It's a very simple principle. It means if I don't give, it shall not be given. And it doesn't necessarily mean money. I have skill. I have talent. Ideas must flow. I need way to be made for me. So if I don't give, I am shortchanging myself. Because God is able to make all grace abound towards me. So, but I have to operate the principle. There has to be input before output. So if it's garbage in, it's garbage out. That's where we read. It said, he who sows sparingly. Everyone should purpose in his heart when it comes to giving. For God loves not a grudging giver, a cheerful giver. In other words, a generous heart. A generous heart. So these are principles. Give and it shall be given to you. Can we take it a message? Luke 6:38. He said, give away your life. Is that not a very difficult thing? People will ask, we say instantly, am I Jesus? But he said, you will find life giving back. Not merely giving back with what? How many of us want bonus? Everybody wants. How many of us want blessing? But the key is to give, share your life. Share your talent. Share your skill. As you polish it, share it.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,